You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
You're listening to the Stable Management Podcast, where we discuss the barn management topics that you're passionate about.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Stable Management Podcast. Our goal is to bring you a real-world look into the parts of horse farm management that you love or hate most, such as stall bedding, farm equipment, and pasture maintenance. During each bi-monthly episode, we'll be joined by an expert guest who shares their experiences with and perspectives on an important stable management topic. This episode is brought to you by SmartPack and Colicare, a comprehensive approach to supporting your horse's hindgut health. Colicare combines research-backed supplements with a unique support program, and eligible enrolled horses may receive up to $15,000 in colic surgery reimbursement. When your horse is counting on you, you can count on Colicare. Learn more at smartpackequine.com/colicare. I'm your host, Haley Peffer, and my guest today is Dr. Frank Andrews from Louisiana State University. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, welcome. You're welcome, Haley. Appreciate you inviting me on your podcast.
So our topic today is one that a lot of our listeners ask about, so I'm glad we're finally getting to it. That's how to choose the right supplement for your horse. So could you just start off by telling us how horse owners could tell the difference between a horse that truly needs a supplement and one that simply needs a balanced diet?
Right. Well, Haley, that's a difficult question to answer. Certainly, every horse needs a balanced diet. That's the first thing. And if you purchase a horse or have a horse given to you, you should consult at least some textbooks or some books, maybe some online information on a good balanced diet, which is, you know, 1.5% roughage, hay, grass, and then, you know, a supplement with a little bit of grain if you can, or a ration balancer, which I think is very important. Now, supplements, you know, it depends on your goal. You know, if you want, if you have a horse that may have a little bit of arthritis, a little bit of an older horse, you might want to get a supplement that has a joint supplement in there. You know, that, and usually we recommend that you seek out some information from your vet, your veterinarian that takes care of the horse to kind of determine what supplements the horse might, you know, might want or might need. You know, when we look at how many people feed supplements, you know, if you go to the internet, there's thousands and thousands of supplements. Generally, they did a survey, and most horses are on an average of 4.2 supplements per horse. So you can see people really love to use supplements. But not every horse needs a supplement. Depends on what your goal is.
Absolutely. And with so many supplements on the market, how do we even start with trying to choose the right product for our horse?
Right. So what we recommend is, and there's a link on the internet that's called the RIDE, R-I-D-E, it's actually an acronym that's used to, and they call it the test ride. It's actually put up by Purina, Dr. Mary Beth Gordon, who does a really nice job on, and you can look it up on YouTube. And you could look at the test ride, R-I-D-E, and I've added the S to it for safety. So it means, you know, is there research done on a supplement? What are the ingredients? Are the ingredients going to be absorbed in the horse's blood and then transferred to the location where those supplements will do the best job? You know, what dose? You know, looking at the dose. And then also the efficacy, which is, does it really work? Does it change the horses? If it's mildly lame, does it make the horse's cartilage better so that it's less lame? And that's the efficacy part. And I've added safety to that because there's some supplements out there that may not be safe or tested in the horse. And most supplements really aren't tested in the horse. We've done some work with some supplements to show that they're safe. And I can cover some of that, those studies that were done here. you know, as we get a little bit further in there. But the video is called Test Ride, TESTRIDE, and that's you know, looks, you know, research, ingredients, the dose, and the efficacy. So that would be a good place to start. You know, if you're looking for particular information on a supplement, then using Google search on your computer, just you know, on your search engine, just search Google search, and that will give you I'm sorry, Google Scholar, and you can then type in supplements for horses, and it will give you the refereed publications, in other words, publications that have been evaluated by experts in the field to show that they are, you know, that supplement has been tested in the horse. But and don't go by these, you know, the advertisements, because you know, we've looked at supplements that they say that they're great, but they're not absorbed by the horse, and you know, they just use human data to show that the that the, or to tell you that the supplement's going to work in your horse, but they don't have any data. So find some data, find some research data on those particular supplements. And the other thing I might mention is, if you're going to use a supplement, make sure that it comes from a reputable company, that it's not just somebody who comes out of nowhere, maybe at a horse show, and has a, you know, some Ziploc bags and says, hey, this supplement, my horse was on it and it really did well, but you don't know what's in there. We had one guy who gave us a supplement, and he said, well, I've been using it at this racetrack. Can you tell people it's a good supplement? I said, well, what's in it? And he goes, well, I don't want to know what's in it. I just say it works. So, but you want to know what's in the supplements. And that's for sure, you know, something that you'll want to do. Make sure it's a reputable company. And I use, throw out the things like Purina, SmartPak, are two of the companies that I've worked with, those are really, really good companies. There's also, you know, other companies that are just as good, but those are the two that I've worked with the most. Well, the other one would be W.F. Young. W.F. Young is, they've been around for a long time. They had the Sorbine and Sorbine and Sorbine Junior, you know, the liniment that you put on your legs, and the horse's legs, and so they make some very nice supplements that we've tested. So
I think you might have been the one who told me this, but somebody told me that if a company has done good research on their product, they'll be excited to tell you about it. So you can always contact the company and ask them if they have research. Would you say that's usually the case if you're trying to determine if a product is high quality?
Yes, they will. And then the other thing is, you're looking up the product on the internet. So if you were to maybe go to SmartPak and look for, say, ginseng root supplements, you know, if you clicked on the supplements that have ginseng in it, what SmartPak will do is they'll say, what's the research on this? And then if you click on that icon that says research, it'll actually give you a one pager, or even the article that's been published in that particular area, you know, that says that, yes, it's absorbed, yes, it works, it doesn't cause any safety issues. So yes, they're the company, either online or if you call the company, they're more than happy to give you their information. If you call up somebody and say, well, gee, we have no data, you know, that would be something I would probably shy away from as far as the supplement goes.
Definitely. So speaking of that, what would you say would be the most common mistakes that you see owners making when they're choosing a supplement for their horse?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, just to reiterate that, you know, the probably they heard a testimonial, or maybe another barn person says, hey, I've used this supplement and I think it works. But again, trying to find some research on it. I think the other thing that I've noticed is that looking at the label of a supplement. Some people are giving double dipping on their supplements. There might be the same product, three different formulations of the same product, and it has different names, and they might be giving two or three times the joint supplement that the horse really needs. We don't really see too much of a problem with toxicity in using supplements, but sometimes when you give too much, you see some subtle things. Maybe a skin coat doesn't look as good. We see with some of the supplements, horses get hyper if they have too much of a supplement. There's not really too many things that are documented as far as some toxic effects, but we have tested some supplements from companies to make sure that they're safe. We have found some products that we feel are safe for that. And one is the ginseng root. We did some extensive studies looking at to see if it causes more excitement in horses because or low or high blood pressure in people, it's been shown, and also low glucose levels, blood sugar levels. But we found that it didn't cause any of those things and actually lowered the blood pressure on the horses, which is a good thing. It's for a calming effect, and that may help the horses stay calmer when you use the ginseng. And that's a SmartPak product, Siberian ginseng.
This episode is brought to you by SmartPak and Colicare, a comprehensive approach to supporting your horse's hindgut health. Colicare combines research-backed supplements with a unique support program, and eligible enrolled horses may receive up to $15,000 in colic surgery reimbursement. When your horse is counting on you, you can count on Colicare. Learn more at smartpackequine.com/colicare. When we're talking about the horse's whole diet, how important is it for owners and barn managers to evaluate the forage and the concentrate that they might be giving before they add in a supplement? And how would you recommend that they do that?
Right. So a lot of times that's probably where we miss out a lot is on the forage part of it. Most of the grains and things that we feed are from a bag. And so a lot of the ingredients are on the bag, and they actually tell you how much to feed the horse based on weight. So that's good. And then they also give you maybe the where the horse is in their training, or where they are. Are they pregnant? Are they, a barrel racer, or are they a pasture ornament? That type of thing. And you can base the amount of grain to feed based on what's on the bag. The problem is with the forage part, the hay, and even the grass too, is that there's, should be some kind of testing done when you're getting hay, so that you can determine, what the nutrients are. And mostly, most square bales, grass hay, they're pretty low in protein, and they could be high in sugar, but it's always good to, if you can, is to get those tested. And if you call up Purina, Nutrina, most of the feed companies, even if you have a local co-op there, they will actually come out and test your hay for free. And you can get, they'll give you they give you the protein, the amount of carbohydrates in there, the water soluble carbohydrates, especially if you have a horse that maybe is overweight or that's prone to laminitis. You'll want to know what those water soluble carbohydrates are, because if you feed too much sugar, it's just like giving a candy bar to a diabetic. You could turn them into a diabetic just by giving them really high sugar hay. But having it tested, and if you call Purina or Nutrina, they will come out and test everything for free. Now, they would obviously like you to buy their products, but they don't require that. They can give you the whole sheet on that. Having your hay tested is really helpful in knowing how much to feed and what And they can also tell you, hey, you don't really need anything but a ration balancer because your hay is great. And that saves you a lot of money. I always say, and also weighing the feed as well. Not necessarily the hay, but you could weigh the hay as well. Because what you're searching for is 1.5% of the body weight. So if your horse is 1,000 pounds, then, you want to give, 1% of that. So you're given 10 to 15 pounds of hay, on a, either once or twice a day. We like to say, give your hay or, feed your horse all the time, unless it has a weight problem. Make sure it has hay in front of it. You can use grass hay, alfalfa hay, kind of a mixture. And then your grain is kind of dependent on how you're working the horse. And that's usually about 0.5% of the body weight in pounds. And keep a scale around the barn where you feed so that you can actually weigh out, especially your grain, because you don't want to, some people say, well, I feed 5 pounds. That's a 5-pound scoop. But the scoop might be, one scoop might be 10 pounds and you think you're only feeding five, and that's kind of an overfeeding. And we find that most people overfeed their horses the grain and underfeed the hay. So, and certainly grass grazing outside is very good for the horse, for its mental attitude and for its GI tract, because the horse was made to graze. So,
yeah, we hear that a lot with people not weighing their feed in hay and just feeding by flake or by scoop. And I think that's something that other people have brought up on the podcast too. That's a really common misconception, is that you actually need to weigh what you're feeding. What I did with mine was just weigh it once, and then I had an idea of where that came up to on the scoop. And you don't have to do it every day, but it's a good idea to do that at least once when you start feeding something new.
Yeah, and I would encourage people to when you're changing hay batches. So, people buy maybe from the same person every year. They say, well, I get my my hay from, Joe down the street every year. And, but they have to realize that every time you get new hay, it's going to be different nutritionally. It might be the first cut, might be the second cut, might be the third cut. And so the nutritional composition of that new hay is different. So what we do recommend is that since you're going to be transitioning your horse from one hay to the next batch of hay, is to keep several bales of the old hay. And when you order your new hay, kind of slowly introduce that new hay in over a week to 10-day period. And that way you don't have that transition to a brand new bales of hay when the horse's GI tract is trying to become accustomed to that new hay. And when they did a study, they looked at colic, and they did note that, when you change the hay, is that the horse was more prone to having colic. So that was one of the risk factors for colic in horses. So is that making that change in the hay change, you think, oh, I just overfeed grain and that'll colic them. But just changing hay, abruptly can also cause colic.
That's super interesting. I didn't realize they had researched that, but I mean, it makes perfect sense. We switch over feed slowly, so we should switch hay the same way. But that's a great thing to call out. I will have to link to the study in the show notes so our listeners can read about it too. So if we're looking at a supplement label to determine if a product is high quality and if it will deliver what it actually promises, what should we be looking for on the label? Are there certain phrases or ways that they might display the information that would help you realize whether it's high quality or not?
Right. So if you're, well, just use joint supplements. Joint supplements are the most common supplement used, and it can be mixed in with a lot of different things. So what you're typically looking for is something like glucosamine hydrochloride or chondroitin sulfate. So those are the types of, they're the joint building blocks, the cartilage building blocks. So you're trying to put those back in the horse. In some of the joint research that's been done, you want to be sure that those building blocks are, you know, when you give them in the feed or give them as a supplement, that they actually get into the horse, you know, from the GI tract. The horse has a really selective GI tract, and it doesn't absorb a lot of these medications or these supplements that people give. Like they did some studies with glucosamine hydrochloride, which is a common joint supplement used, and they found that really the bioavailability, in other words, the ability to get the drug, when you give, say, you feed, a mount, and then it only in that in the horses that they looked at, only up to 5% of that glucosamine hydrochloride was actually absorbed from the GI tract and found in the blood, whereas the chondroitin sulfate was 35% bioavailable. In other words, 35% of what you fed the horse was actually in the blood and then goes to the joint. Now, I don't think anybody's done really a, did it get to the joint? But it did, maybe got to the cartilage, but at least it has to get the blood first and be absorbed by the GI tract. So looking for those supplements, and then what's the, it's really difficult to tell, by the dose there, what you actually need. Looking for testing, did they do some testing and find out that this chondroitin sulfate was much better to feed than the glucosamine hydrochloride? And then, trying to find a supplement that has the chondroitin sulfate in it, which would probably be better for your horse than using something with the glucosamine hydrochloride. That doesn't mean if they had a pretty high dose of glucosamine hydrochloride, it wouldn't be beneficial. And even if it was there, maybe it would be somewhat helpful. But looking at those particular supplements, trying to figure out what your goal is. If your goal is to make your horse less lame or to build those, to have building blocks for the cartilage as the horse ages and the horses perform, then looking for those particular ingredients in there and making sure that there is some data on absorption so that those ingredients are going to get into your horse and back to that RIDE, is there research done on it? Is the ingredients correct? Is it chondroitin sulfate and maybe a higher dose of glucosamine? So what's the dose and is it absorbed in the blood? The dose is correct. And then efficacy. Do you start seeing a change in the horse? And I know one of your questions would be, how long does it take? So don't expect that supplement to change lameness supplement to change your horse overnight. You're not going to see, like if you give bute to your horse or Banamine, your horse is lame. Maybe it's been out in the pasture. It's twisted an ankle, so to speak. And it comes in, it's a little bit lame. So you put it in a stall and you give it some bute. The next morning, it's probably going to feel good. It's going to go out and run around. For a joint supplement, if your horse is a little bit lame, may not see any effect for 30 to 60 days. So, and it's a slow effect. So you want to be sure that you're seeing what you expect to see and have your veterinarian work with you if you think the horse is lame and needs a supplement. So,
yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that because just yesterday I was talking with the barn manager where one of my horses lives, and she was saying that she had her horse on a supplement and didn't really think she noticed a difference after, being the one staring at him every single day. So she decided to take him off after a couple months. And then she said when she pulled him off, she realized it must have been doing something because he started looking worse. So I thought that was interesting that you mentioned that and that she was talking about a real world example of that.
Yeah, I think it's very subtle. Supplements are not made, they don't seem to cause an overnight change in the horse, but over time, they definitely, I think a lot of these supplements do work and help the horse. You just have to be patient.
Definitely. I think some of us struggle with patience. I'm guilty of that myself.
Patience is a right, it's a virtue, right? Lord upon, yeah.
All right, well, I have one more question for you today before we get to the end of our episode. And I'm wondering if feeding too many supplements at once could cause problems, or if feeding some ingredients together could actually like cancel them out, sort of thing, or if they could cause harmful effects when you feed too many.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I don't think there's a lot of studies, data that looking at a variety of supplements been fed together. I think what we see mostly is the double dipping. You know, the feeding the supplements, two or three supplements that have the same thing in it, and that's probably what we see the most. And that's probably not causing your horse any harm. But it is costing you more. So, you know, it's causing harm to your pocketbook, so to speak. You know, I would say things that are a little bit more on the exotic side, you know, and I'll use the Siberian ginseng, you know, these things that are not very very well proven to be safe at what dose. You know, I think is something that you'll want to do, something like maybe a turmeric. You know, that is kind of a spice. And there has been some data that shows, at least in people, that it is a spice and it is maybe causes gastric ulcers in horses. We did a study with the turmeric and devil's claw in horses. And we used, I think it was a gram, you know, 1 or 2 grams in a supplement. And we looked for ulcers, gastric ulcers in those horses, and we didn't see any. And actually, the gastric ulcers improved in all the horses because they were brought in from the pasture and fed singularly. I think if you know, if you have problems with the horses out in the pasture where they're always fighting and, you know, trying to establish dominance, is that there can be some horses out there that are prone to ulcers because they don't get enough to eat or they're stressed out. So bringing them inside, but we found that actually feeding the turmeric was didn't cause ulcers, so that's in the safety issue. And then the ginseng, we've done some study with kind of the hyperness of horses and blood pressure issues, and we've actually found that feeding Siberian ginseng at the gram once a day, well, I guess it was twice a day, gram twice a day, we didn't see any issues with that. Now, if you're feeding several different supplements and they all have Siberian ginseng in there at a real high dose, then you might see some issues. So when you're looking at the label, make sure that you're feeding that one product. If you're feeding, say, Siberian ginseng in one product, make sure that the next product you feed, maybe the joint supplement, doesn't also have Siberian ginseng in there. And then discuss it with your veterinarian on, you know, what supplements may have, you know, the same ingredients, and you might well stay away from those supplements if they have two or three the same ingredient in two or three of them. So,
Awesome. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but it's been great talking with you. Thank you so much for discussing this topic with me today, Dr. Andrews.
all right, Haley, and thank you for inviting me, and certainly I'd be more than happy to discuss anything further with you in the future.
Awesome. Well, thank you all for listening today. Please remember to like this podcast, subscribe, leave a review, and recommend the Stable Management podcast to a friend.